Lord, we cast our cares on you because we know we can't solve all of the issues that we cause in our own lives. We can't solve all the issues that we experience when we recognize that, that our friends and our family and loved ones are fighting cancer and are sick, strokes, dying. And Lord, in all of this, you're not surprised. And we ask, Lord Jesus, because you are faithful, that you'll help us be faithful. Because you are so good, in spite of who we are, God, help us to recognize that and to just cast our cares on you, to lean on you, to recognize that you are the one that will cause good things to happen through your Holy Spirit dwelling in us and working through us. Thank you so much for that gift, Jesus. Amen. The text again this week is what it has been for a few weeks and will be for at least a couple more. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness is what we're up to today. And then gentleness and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. It's beautiful that faithfulness is in this list. If you are an old-timer like me and you've been around the church a long, long time and you were raised on King James Bible, it's a tiny little bit different if you memorize this. It would be faith. It's the identical Greek word. The Greek doesn't have two different words, one for faith and one for faithfulness. It's the same word, and it can be interpreted properly either way. Whichever word we choose, we realize that faith or faithfulness is a gift from God. It's one of the Holy Spirit fruit gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is a gift from God. Holy Spirit is a gift from God. Faith, love, all of these things that we've been studying, that's what's coming from God and hopefully being experienced through us. One of the biggest difficulties we have is we get in the way of God working His work in and through us. We do that because we have a struggle. We'll talk some about that today. Faithfulness has a lot to do with fighting with the flesh and all the different ways that the flesh can try to take over. We as humans are like the opposite of faithfulness. You could say unfaithfulness, but I think another word that would work better is fickle. How many of you are familiar with the word fickle? Have you ever been fickle? Have you met someone that's fickle? Someone that's changing just at a whim and they never really know where they stand and who they are. And you know, we've got a God that is faithful. And He's not fickle. There's a difference between the two. And we are asked through Scripture to be faithful. There's different definitions, a lot of them, if you look around at different dictionaries and whatnot. I kind of latched onto a few here. Faithfulness is commitment to someone or something. And then it's especially valued in spouses and in sports fans. I thought that was kind of a fun analogy there. You know, nobody wants an unfaithful sports fan, right? They only show up when you're winning. Okay, Seahawks have some faithful fans. They'll show up with their chest painted and they'll scream at the top of their lungs even when the Seahawks aren't winning. When they're winning, maybe they're a little bit more exuberant. But the faithful fans don't come and go based on the record. The Mariners have some faithful fans. When they're doing well, they get a few more fans. But I wouldn't call them faithful fans. I think I'd call them fickle. They come and go. Relationships in marriage. It's difficult to have faithfulness in marriage. I think most of the time when you think about faithfulness in marriage, we would go towards, well, they're faithful with sexual purity. And that's an important part of faithfulness, but there's a whole lot more of being faithful to one another in a marriage. The next one, the quality of being faithful and loyal. So the definition of faithfulness is the quality of being faithful. Don't you love it when the dictionary gives you a definition that doesn't really define anything, it just restates it with a different form of the same word. That happens often in dictionaries, and so you have to keep on looking until you can dig and find it some more. A patriotic person is full of faithfulness to their country. People can have faithfulness to ideas, to religious ideas, political ideas, artistic ideas. You've probably met people, and as you get to know them, there's some in this town are faithful to the concept of train history. They love trains. They live trains. That's what they do. That's who they are. That's a big part of what they express in their lives. I've met somebody that raced pigeons. He was a faithful pigeon racer. And he took good care of his pigeons. He loved them and cared for them. And faithfulness includes an awful lot of things. It's not like I'm going to be a pigeon racer for a week and then I can ignore them and go on vacation. They were a job. I mean, it was something he had to care for every day. How many of you know farmers or ranchers? They don't take a lot of vacations. They have to be faithful to the work that's necessary there. And they continue on. Now hopefully they find enjoyment in that. And then they can try to find a way to pull away and maybe take a vacation. But in order to do that, they have to find somebody to cover and care for their crops or their animals or whatever needs done around the farm, the ranch. And faithfulness is caring for something continually, being loyal to it. It's real easy to see that all of us are faithful to something. That's where it kind of starts falling apart. Some of us are faithful to unfaithfulness. Some of us are faithful to fickleness. We're very faithfully fickle. How many of us have tried to go on a diet or something and it worked for a while and then it didn't and then it did and it didn't and we've tried different things and you know what? We can't do this in our own strength. Faithfulness is a gift from God because we can't be faithful without Him. We need Him in order to be properly faithful. In fact, in our dieting, in our food habits, in our reading and entertainment habits, being faithful to God, understanding who He is and how He's going to guide and lead and direct us in all that we do. It's kind of important. Faithfulness, or faith, as in the King James, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. The indwelling Spirit of God gives us this gift. It's available. If you know Jesus, Holy Spirit dwells in you. If Holy Spirit's dwelling in you, faithfulness is part of His fruit. He's not trying to keep us from being faithful. We do enough of that on our own. But it's available. Another thing that if you look down at a selected synonym, my favorite synonym for faithfulness is fidelity. Most everybody in this room, now that the kids have gone back to the other room, remember the hi-fi. Did any of you have a hi-fi or, you know, the high-fidelity recording? It was kind of exciting when they were able to actually come close to the original. They were true to the sound of the original music. Now, it's even gotten better with some of the digital things that we're able to do. But this fidelity, being able to match the original, the degree of exactness with which something is copied or reproduced. Now, what are we faithful to? That's where I said kind of all of us are faithful to something. What are we imitating? Or who are we imitating? Who are we a copy of? If we're a copy of God dwelling in us, that kind of faithfulness is going to show godly characteristics. If we're not, if we're faithful to the flesh, if we're faithful to our own desires, to whatever we want, it's going to demonstrate in a different way. It's a spiritual issue when we're not faithful to God. And there's a lot of different ways that we can demonstrate that, and most people would look at you and say, everything's fine, you're within the normal range. How many of us want God to be like 95% effective? That's not a faithful representation, is it? I know in school, we graded kids, and they could get an A with 95. Is that perfection? No. It's a different kind of scale than faithfulness. Faithfulness doesn't have that kind of scale where you grade on a curve. You're mostly faithful. There's a whole group of individuals that claim that they can be 100% loyal without being faithful in marriage. They're loyal to their spouse, but they're not faithful to their spouse. I think that's a tough one to try to wrap my mind around. It doesn't seem to make sense to me that you can be one and the other. It seems like it's one or the other. Some verses in Scripture, and there were a lot of them, and this is one of those topics that you're going to find from Genesis all the way through Revelation, the topic of faith. Much of what we read in Scripture is all about faith. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 is the closing chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, and as he closes it out, he really loved this church, he loved the people. May God himself, the God of peace, that's another Holy Spirit fruit, right? Sanctify you. He's going to sanctify you to help you become better and better and better. You're in a process. How many of us reached perfection as soon as we accepted Christ as our Savior? Doesn't happen that way. There's a process. So the sanctification process, may the God of peace, the God himself, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying this as a prayer and as a hope to the people in Thessalonica as he closes out. This is kind of like, you know, the final words of wisdom he gives them. And then he says, the one who calls you is faithful. This God of peace, this God that's sanctifying you through and through, this God is faithful. We can trust him. If we're relying on ourselves or on our pastor or on our spouse or on our children or parents or whatever it is, we find people in this world that we want to try to rely on and we can't. People are going to fail you. You're going to fail yourself. But the God who calls you, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Paul's very clear that you know, I trust that God's going to take care of this. I really hope this happens, and I know who's going to make it happen. In 2 Thessalonians, it only has 3 chapters. So again, we're coming to the closing chapter, and Paul's writing to these same people, and he writes again, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. He's writing the whole concept there of who's going to protect us from evil. The God of faith. The God that's faithful. The faithful God, however you want to say it. In Hebrews 11 is kind of considered the faith chapter. And it starts out, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. What's the one thing that we really, really need to be assured of that we do not see? God. By the time you get just a few verses later, without faith, it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, even though they can't see him. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And then the chapter continues on with a lot of examples of faith and people that were faithful because God made them faithful. God chose them and called them out. And the God that calls us will do it. He will cause us to be faithful. He will sanctify us through and through. So today I wanted to go into Galatians 5 and go back a little ways because I like to put things in context. Galatians 5 is talking about Holy Spirit fruit for the two verses I've been covering for a few weeks now. But there's a whole concept here about living by the flesh or living by the Spirit, walking in our own way or walking in God's way. You, my brothers and sisters, if you want to follow along in the Pew Bibles, it's page 1781. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Some of them are enslaving themselves to rules, religious rules, that were making them think that they were good and holy because they were following religious rules. It's like, no, that's not how it works. You were called to be free. You don't have to necessarily follow all of the laws, okay? And if you can follow all of the laws, great, but you're not going to be able to do that in your own strength. You need Holy Spirit to help you with that. So it's like you're called to be free. Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. He hasn't got to the fruit of the Spirit, his love, yet, but it's kind of leading up to that, isn't it? How do we spend time with one another? You serve one another humbly in love. Like Susan was talking about, you know, you go to the fire evacuation center and nobody wants to just sit around and do nothing. You serve one another. Because that's who you are, because that's what God's made you to be. And you do it humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. We're free to love. We're free to be Holy Spirit in other people's lives. We're free to demonstrate His love, His joy, His peace, His forbearance, all of these things that I can't do in my own strength. But I'm free to do them now because God has empowered me to do them. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. How many churches, marriages, communities have been destroyed by biting and devouring one another? As humans, we have differences with one another, don't we? We end up having conflict. What do we do with that? We have choices. We can live in the flesh and bite and devour one another. We can be unfaithful. We can say, well, yeah, I promised you that, you know, till death do us part, but I didn't foresee how bad you were really going to be. So, let's renegotiate this contract. And how many of us, when we're having a conflict with our spouse or a friend in the community, bring up old hurts, old pains, things that should have been resolved? You're having an argument about one thing, and it's not really about that. It's like you don't like this person because they did something to you 20 years ago. Or you heard that they said something. Maybe they said it, maybe they didn't. But in your mind, they said it because you heard they'd said it. You've attributed that to them, and all of a sudden you can't be their companion. You can't work together with them. And so you bite and devour one another. You stir up strife. You bring other people into it. You make people pick sides. That's what humans do. We've got a very divisive and divided nation right now because people don't know how to work together and get along. I'm not saying to get along you have to accept everything that your opponent accepts. You don't have to believe everything that the other side, if you want to call it that, believes. But you know what? We can speak the truth in love. We can bear one another's burdens while we carry our own load. There's so many things in Scripture that talk about, looks like it's one thing and the other thing. Sometimes it is. In this case, biting and devouring each other is a way to demonstrate unfaithfulness, a lack of love. It doesn't bring peace. There's no joy in biting and devouring each other. You take all the Holy Spirit fruit. And I really like this verse. It was my life verse in high school. If you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be consumed by one another. We can ruin relationships. We can ruin ourselves by holding a grudge, by stirring up strife, by not accepting that, yeah, maybe we don't agree on something. Can we still love each other? Totally disagree with you, and in God's strength, I can love you anyway. In fact, I hope you can love me because I'm not very agreeable either. I'm, you know, hard to get along with. Ask Kathy. She's tolerated me for over 40 years in a very loving and beautiful way. Gracious. And Holy Spirit has empowered her to put up with me all these years. Long marriages are difficult. Short marriages can be difficult too. Relationships are difficult. If everything's going along well and then you invite somebody else into your house to be a guest, that's fine for a short time, right? And then like fish, you want them to go away sometime soon before they smell too badly, whatever it is. Now, Bob, I'm not saying that because you guys are visiting. Bob and Linda have been excellent guests. And they have a key to our house and they're welcome anytime. And they've been great guests. But that's because they put an effort into it. We could get in each other's way real quick. It could be difficult times. Do you think that Bob and Linda and Kathy and I could live together for a long period of time in that structure? I don't know. It might get tougher. We might want to make some changes and set some more boundaries and set up different rules, right? Wouldn't it make sense? I was raised in a family with four brothers and four sisters and lots of foster kids in one bathroom. You want conflict? I gotta go, and I gotta go now, and then I don't care who's in there, and, you know. And sometimes you just had to get out, whether you were done or not. And that was life. And I love my brothers and sisters. And yeah, I could probably live with them in a house with one bathroom again, but why would I? If we could choose to have a second bathroom or find different ways to make peace, God's blessed all of us with a mind that can creatively come up with solutions to problems. So if we run into these problems, which we inevitably do in family, in community, in church, what do we do with it when problems present themselves? Take it as a challenge and find a solution. So Paul's saying here to the church in Galatia, I say walk by the Spirit. Don't bite and devour each other. You're going to get consumed. You'll eat each other up. But walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And then he gives this list. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. We're called to be free, right? We're not under the law. We're led by the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean the law is not going to be kept. Remember, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what all the law hinges on. That's what it hangs on. And then he mentions the acts of the flesh. They're obvious. If you look through this and you think about the word faithfulness, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality. That's a way to demonstrate unfaithfulness. Impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. We're unfaithful to our God. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. There's a whole lot of other things could have been listed. How many different ways can we demonstrate fickleness or unfaithfulness? Here's a small list. And Paul says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you think you're in the kingdom and you're demonstrating all these things, guess what? You probably don't have Holy Spirit dwelling in you. You might want to check in with God and see how things should be going, because they're not working with what you're doing. But the fruit of the Spirit, and that's where we come back to this. The fruit of the Spirit is love. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, forbearance or long-suffering, patience. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are we being faithful to produce Holy Spirit fruit? You're being true to your word, right? If you say you're going to do something, faithfulness would say, yeah, you need to do that. What happens when we promise somebody something and then circumstances change and we can't do what we were hoping to do? There was a couple that said they wanted to be at church this morning, and they're not here. But they were faithful because they communicated with us and made sure that we knew. Something has come up. There's a situation. Something's happening. So we're able to understand they're not being unfaithful. If your spouse is going to be home on a certain time and they call and say, you know what? I can't make it. There's been an accident. Does that make them unfaithful? Things change. Life happens. We don't get to control everything. But faithfulness is a heart thing. It's a Holy Spirit thing. Being true to your word is being faithful. And then faithfulness in this concept, in this situation, faithfulness to love. There's some love going on in here, isn't there? Some Holy Spirit fruit, faithfulness. Kathy and I were at a memorial yesterday, and there was this tiny little girl. She was maybe 18 months to 2 years sitting in front of us. And you know, it's a real serious time. Some people are, you know, we knew the guy that died, okay? He would have loved this little girl. Doing whatever she wanted to do would have been fine. Not a problem. She started crying a couple times. She started doing things. But one thing I noticed about her, there were a couple other kids in the audience, too. There were quite a few of the grandnieces and nephews, and some of them started fussing or crying at different times. She would stop and look, and she'd look up at her mom and at her dad, and she'd say, "Is so-and-so okay? Is he all right?" She had this heart as a little tiny kid. She's already looking out for those around her. We know those kids. Yeah, they can cry themselves too. Hopefully someone's looking out for them too. That's how God creates community. Faithfulness to being who God created you to be. He created all of us to be loving, to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Are we faithful to that? Or do we set up barriers and say, "Well, yeah, I'll love you if..." A lot of conditional kind of love stuff. I can love you if... And you make a list. Now, most of the time, that's just another way to say, "I'm not going to be faithful to you. I'll sort of be there for you when it's convenient for me." Father, be with first responders right now as they go out. Amen. We've got some firefighters in this community that are faithful. Whenever they're available, they jump and they go. And that call's coming out again right now. We don't know what it is. God knows. He's not surprised by that alarm going off. Firefighters are surprised sometimes. When they get there, sometimes they recognize this is somebody that I have known for 20 years and I love and I've spent time with and had meals with and our kids played together and whatnot. You know, it's kind of... In a small community like this, faithfulness means doing things that hurt. And we do it with love. And somehow we do it with joy. And we have peace that surpasses understanding. And the patience and long suffering and forbearance that's required sometimes in relationships, you can't do that without faithfulness. There's no way that you can continue a long, hurtful relationship without faithfulness. But faithfulness also means, you know, loving somebody enough to confront them when it's necessary. Hoping that they'll listen. Speaking the truth in love to somebody that really needs to hear it. We're going to get to gentleness and self-control. There's things that God says, there's no law against any of these. Why is there no law? Well, because they're from Holy Spirit. They're from God. He's not going to make a law saying, don't have fidelity. Don't imitate me perfectly. He really wants us to be a proper representation of who He is. And if we can do that, people are going to see Jesus and they're going to want to join the family. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Your goodness, your grace, your forbearance with us are all aspects that we really love. But God, I just so much love your faithfulness. I love that you are one that is true to your word. You are faithful. All your word has been tried and proven. When you say you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, God, that's something we can grab onto and hold onto in comfort. when you say that you will do it, that the sanctification that's necessary in our lives, that you will sanctify us through and through, you will do it. That's a promise in Scripture. I just love to grab onto, God, because I know I can't fix myself. I'm glad I know the one that can. Amen. If you'd like to stand, we'll close with this song.